Hi, I'm Britton LaRue, and this is Moon to Moon. Moon to Moon is a space to consider, celebrate, and share the ways we come home to ourselves, anchor through change, and uncover our power. 1 month, one phase, one loving step at a time. Dear Moon to Moon listeners, it's with great joy and pride that I share a conversation with you that I had with someone who's been a really important part of my various community containers for about 2 years now. This is when I first met Jacqueline Skeens. In this episode, I'm sharing a conversation that Jonathan and I hosted with Jacqueline. Jonathan Coe is well known in my communities. Jonathan is my collaborator. We have an upcoming course called Astrology as Praxis, Remembering Your Participation in the Cosmic Body. And Jonathan has a podcast called Healing the Spirit. And so over the last couple of weeks, we've been sharing conversations that we're both having with other individuals and then publishing them on both of our podcasts and then giving those conversations our own personal introductions and closing messages. You may be very aware of this, but just in case this is your first time coming on to Moon to Moon, there are a lot of other conversations from the month of August that are all speaking to new ways, fresh ways, exciting ways to be in community with astrology, to speak astrology as a form of relating, to invite astrology into the ways you do your human experience, that we're calling in as a thesis, that we're calling in as a like large, shifting, expansive invitation for relating with this wisdom tradition known as astrology that we're bringing in for this upcoming course, but also just bringing in through these conversations that we're sharing on our podcasts. Astrology as praxis really isn't any different than what I've been doing all along. I've always been doing astrology as praxis. I just wasn't calling it that before. And now that I'm starting to have language for what this is, I can speak about it more clearly. And the people I most love hearing speak about it are those that I've already been in community with, talking astrology with one another, witnessing one another, honoring one another with a language. And Jacqueline Skeens is one of those wonderful people who's been part of my communities. Let me share her bio and then I'll have a few more words to say before we get to the conversation. So Jacqueline is an avid list maker. She's a Virgo rising. This is from her bio. Lover of all things magical, Pisces sun, and always curious about how you're really doing, Scorpio moon. Cultivating a more intimate relationship with astrology and the planets has been an ever-evolving gift, one that currently has Jacqueline creating a life that inspires and excites her. In the real world, you'll most likely find Jacqueline out on meandering walks with her dog, sitting in the sun, or in her sewing studio creating astro hoops, custom textile creations that turn your natal chart into tangible art. And I'll put the links in the show notes for how to reach Jacqueline and connect with Jacqueline, especially if you're interested in having one of her creations. Yeah, so let me speak a little bit about Jacqueline. Jacqueline Jacqueline, Jacqueline, Jacqueline. Jacqueline really is a human that connects with people at a heart level. People feel Jacqueline in their heart. That's where she lives for me. We share in the conversation how we connected, so you can hear about that there. But Jacqueline's a really special human who inspires people not only by how she witnesses them in community and names their light with such love and honesty, but I think what's most inspiring for me being with Jacqueline is witnessing and learning from her process of give herself the same love and clarity and honesty and luminosity as she so effortlessly gives to other people. Watching astrology shift Jacqueline has been like a life honor. And the truth is, I feel like that with everyone who participates in my communities. Jacqueline really sticks out because she's been part of so many of my containers. So I've really been able to witness her just blossoming before our eyes, as the planets talk to her and she listens to them. You know, this is emergence astrology that I do here, and emergence is a big keyword for me, and Jacqueline's had many, many emergences in my space, is a way to put it. And she talks about this in the conversation. She's welded together her love for astrology with the creative practices that began to be no longer ignorable, that wanted to move through her. And she's found this incredible relationship to her creativity, especially through the support of Venus and Mars and what she's learned about herself through these planets, that currently is showing up as her practice of making these astro hoops, which are these embroidered birth charts. I haven't received mine yet. Mine's going to be coming soon, but I'm so excited. It's going to have a special place right by my altar or maybe in my office. Like, I love my chart so much. And to know that I'm going to be experiencing my chart as like this alive object that was cared for in Jacqueline's hands, that the lines of the aspects between the planets of my birth chart are going to be vibrating with Jacqueline's work and attention and dedication and devotion and love. That's just so special. And just what a joy that I've been able to watch her find this. Yes, Jacqueline, you are a marvel. Thank you for sharing yourself with Moon to Moon. And especially thank you for sharing yourself with me and with the containers that we've been in together. The really exciting news is that Jacqueline is going to be one of two teaching assistants, community support members, whatever you want to call them. Like, I think we have a magical name for these positions coming up, but right now they haven't unfurled, and I'm not going to force one. But Jacqueline is one of two assistants to the space, space holders. Jacqueline's going to be another person to ask questions to, another person to be looking at your chart, another person to be relating with, laughing with, crying with, enjoying astrology with, feeling inspired by. Jacqueline is a really, really big-hearted person, and the community that's constellating around astrology as praxis is so, so, so lucky to have Jacqueline supporting the space. So thank you, Jacqueline. I'm so excited to be working with you in a new way. And I know that it's going to be foremost really fun. So without further ado, then, I would like to share my conversation with Jacqueline and Jonathan. Thank you. Enjoy. Welcome, Jacqueline.
Hi, thank you. I'm so happy to be here with y'all.
It's so fun to be with you and have some time to talk with you about your journey with astrology and how we've met. I was thinking about it, and I feel like we connected maybe summer of 2020.
Yes.
And at that time, I was putting my workbooks out 1 month at a time. And I remember mailing workbooks to you. You were like my first list of buyers, the ones I was creating for basically. And then along with the Living the Signs workbooks, I started to have those living blank, like living Cancer, living Leo conversations in Zoom. And like, sometimes it would be me and two other people. Maybe there'd be as many as 10 or 12, but I mean, these were like intimate little groups. And I feel like that was the first time that you popped into my space. Is that how you remember it?
Yes. The first one that I bought was the Leo workbook. I remember because I have never thought of myself as a fiery person. And so I think that was probably one of the first ones that you created. So I was like, yeah, I'll just like start with fire. It's Leo season. Like I want to connect to this more. And then Virgo and the Living the Signs Virgo workbook. I'm a Virgo rising. And so I just wanted to learn more about Virgo from you. And so then I started joining the meetups, and I feel like we've been together ever since. So
yes. And Jonathan was attending those as well. And at some point I realized that the two of you have a very similar chart. March, is it 1990?
Yeah.
And you both have Virgo rising. So it's just like these slight differences, like the moon clearly would be in a different sign. But even I think like your Venuses maybe are slightly, or is it different. Your Mars are slightly different.
True.
Mercury's in a different place in Pisces, but how fun to meet someone who has the same rising sign, same year, same sun sign, and just be able to relate to one another with these like differences and similarities.
Yeah. It's been really interesting because you know, we have such different backgrounds, but with our so many placements being the same and just kind of having like similar life things happening like around the same time. And I think we both came to find astrology around the same time, like during our Saturn return. And it's just been really fun, like learning from Jonathan and being able to compare our charts and like see the things that they reflect on, and I'm going through them at the same time, and it's been a fun journey.
Yeah, it's been cool to see how certain transits also hit our charts kind of in the same way or in a very similar way, and to feel into also what are the differences, right?
Yeah, I think it's just our moons. My moon's in Scorpio and Jonathan's is in Gemini. And then your Mars is in Capricorn, right?
Yeah.
And mine is in Aquarius. And then my MC is in Taurus and yours is in Gemini.
Oh, I didn't realize this. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Difference. Yeah. So you have a ninth house MC then.
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's 29 degrees of Taurus.
And so when you started showing up, were you just learning astrology?
No, I was not. So I came to astrology. I think, well, being a Pisces, I think that we have kind of known that we're Pisces like our whole life. Like everyone, you know, reading like the sun sign astrology and like magazines and things like that is most common, I think, in Pisces sun people. But then March 2018, where it was actually a Yoga Girl podcast and she had Deborah Silverman on and she was talking about astrology. And that was the first time I learned about it as something more than just your sun sign. And I was just like, I have to know like everything about this. Like I have to know what this means, because I've always been very like a self-inquisitive person and I love like personality tests and it's just like the ultimate personality quiz to learn about yourself with your astrology chart. So that's kind of how I got into astrology, and I would say I was pretty self-taught like for maybe the first year, like just figuring out what I could with Google and books and just following Instagram accounts. And I just remember that very like scrappy, kind of like isolated, like trying to learn astrology. And like, you come to your friends at work and you're like, go ask what your birth time is because I want to tell you about yourself. Like, so I probably did that for about a year. And I did eventually take, more like a self-study course, and kind of learning like all the basics of astrology. And I just wanted to like go deeper and learn about the signs and the planets in a more like complex way. And so that's when I found your account, Britton, and just loved the way that you talk about the planets, that they're like this very real thing to you, and just how like, I guess it's like your Aries rising, like this just childlike wonder of like connecting to them and what they all are. And so I love the workbooks. Like they just have so much information, and it just is like poetry to me, like learning about astrology through you. And so then I'm just, you know, we joke like my ninth house in Taurus, I'm like, this is the teacher that I want. Like, I'm good. I'm going to learn from her for a while. And I just feel like it's like there's endless ways to approach the signs. And so it's just been like really beautiful, you know, just kind of approaching astrology as this like multifaceted thing that we can never completely understand.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so then when you joined the first Magician's Table in 2021, to practice workshopping astrology, right?
Yeah.
You were reading charts that year.
Mm-hmm, I was, yeah. I joined the first Magician's Table truly just to like claim even being able to say out loud that I'm an astrologer. It was like too intimidating to me to say it. And so Magician's Table was really like becoming comfortable with this idea, that, you know, I know what I'm talking about and that I am an astrologer, and kind of navigating that. And then that we went into charting your course, which just ended earlier this year. And that was a hugely transformative experience for me. You know, I know charting your course, it's presented, or it was presented since it's been composted now. But really as like a container to learn astrology. But it really was like a hugely transformative space for me. And I found that I, like, over the course was really able to claim fire, like, for myself, because I don't have any major planets or, like, even any chart points really in fire, like, at all. So I've never thought of myself as a fiery person. But through the time in charting your course, and just, you know, weekly getting to talk astrology with people and become more comfortable in it, I then went into Magician's Table the second time with, like, no question, like, yeah, I'm an astrologer. Like, of course I am. And this more approaching it with a very exploratory, like, curious, experimental mindset of, like, you know I'm an astrologer. So now how can I do astrology, like, in my own way, instead of how I think I need to do astrology, like, the way other people do it on Instagram and in, you know, real life and stuff.
Yeah, that's a huge one. I'm actually curious to hear how that process has been like for you, Jacqueline, because, you know, something about emergence in general, which for me, the Magician's Table is really kind of congregating around this idea of emerging, right, as a reader or as a magical person. There's so much sweetness and truth, and also there can be a lot of frustration and pain in that process, because it's like, also, we are in a course, you know, that maybe is like 3 months, right, for the Magician's Table. But the truth is that emergence takes whatever time it takes, you know, so what happens afterwards is like, there's still more of the same, but maybe not within that chrysalis. So I'm really curious to hear more about where you've been finding your own personal genius, your own personal medicine within this whole, like, shedding business.
So something that has been huge for me has been, like, really letting the transits change my life. And kind of coming to this realization that, you know, certain transits happen for us that don't happen, you know, for other people, that we have once in a lifetime transits. And I guess for those of you, if you're not as familiar, like, a transit is when the current planet crosses over a point in your birth chart. And it, like, the current planet interacts with your birth chart astrology, and they speak to it, and, you know, you have different energy and just, like, different interactions. And so, yeah, I think that, like, letting the transits change my life has been made this process of emergence become easeful and, like, really exciting. Instead of letting it be something that can be, like, scary or, like, you know, just kind of, like, going into the unknown, really, and trusting that it's not just me, like, making these decisions, that the planets are with me, and that that I have support, and that the things that are happening and the ways that I'm feeling are really meant, like, I'm meant to act on these decisions, that they're meant to change your life. And so, yeah, I think that was a big shift in kind of thinking, like, you know, the way when I was born, the way that the planets were, like, I'm meant to have Neptune transit my sun, like, in this lifetime. And so, you know, you can have that happen and really root down and, like, stay exactly as you are at the end of it, or you can let it, like, wash over you and you can just kind of, like, go into it. And I actually remember, I don't know what workshop it was, but it had to have been the Pisces workshop, but y'all were talking about, like, how you had already experienced the Neptune transit to your sun. And I was just like, what's going to happen? Like, what is it like? And I think Britton, you, well, both of you reflected that it's like dissolving. Like, you really can't describe it. It's just like this thing that happens to you. And I think back then that maybe like a year. I don't know when, like the exact timeline. But when y'all's Neptune transit happened versus when mine, because I'm like a much later degree of Pisces. When you originally asking about it, I was like, oh my gosh, like what is this gonna be? Like I need more information. I gotta know. and then as it was actually happening, it just been this very easeful, like trusting, like free fall process of like, this is how Neptune wants to change my life. And this is what I signed up for. So let's go for it.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yeah. I remember, like, I feel like fire has been, getting back to your calling in a fire. Mm-hmm. I feel like the first magician's table, like I remember you talking about connecting to the part of you that is fire, mm-hmm. back then, and like to this idea of emergence being kind of an ongoing thing. It's not like, oh, well, now I've emerged with fire, done. Yeah. You know? And then I feel like, remind me, at the beginning of charting your course last year, what planet it was that you were naming that you wanted to work more closely with? Was it Mars or Venus or both?
I think it was both. I think both, but definitely Mars. Yeah, to call that in. And then without even knowing, at the end of charting your course, Mars and Venus conjunction happened, like basically on my Mars. So I've definitely come to see how powerful the calling in that you do at the start of these containers is, because everything that every planet I've asked to like interact with has interacted with me. So yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm going to be really mindful of what I call in for astrology as praxis, because it's going to show up for me and it's going to be transformative. So
I feel like the Venus retrograde in Capricorn was, mm-hmm. was one of those really powerful transits for you, and has brought you into the way you're relating with astrology now in a way. Like,
yes.
Thank yes. you, Venus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Share a little bit about that.
Definitely. Yeah, that has been huge for me. So I've always been a creative person. And I think just kind of conditioned out of it, and that like art isn't a real job, and you know, you can do that in high school and college, but you really need to like have a real career, like in quotes, like a real job, to make money in this world, which is such a like old world, like Capricorn way of thinking. And like, we're moving into Aquarius, like we can totally dismantle that like thought process. And so I've, for a very long time, like for years and years and years, been kind of thinking, you know, like, how can I incorporate my creative self more into my life and like into work that I do in this world? And I've always been really into textile art and embroidery and sewing and creating things. But it felt like it had to be very separate from like astrology and from the job that I do in the world. Like, it felt like I had all these separate dreams that I was tending to. And then the Venus retrograde happened, and Venus just said to me, like, well, why do they have to be separate? Like, why can't they all be one? And I just started having these dreams of like textile art and layering fabrics and colors and just like very, very textural, yummy, like totally like MC and Taurus, like this Taurus creative project that I wanted to bring into the world. And then that moved into the Mercury retrograde. Mm. And it was as if Mercury like took this idea that Venus gave me, and then Mercury was like, you're going to make astrology natal charts as tapestries, as textile like things that people can hold. And so, and I was like, okay, like, yeah, I will do that. Like, I have to do that. And so then, so I had that idea, and it's actually funny. I've like gone back through my journals and I just kind of wrote like a one page of that. And I never talk about it again in my journal. Because I think, you know, I'm like definitely like have ideas, and then it's like bringing them into reality that is harder for me, or like making the time for it, like between working and life and everything. And so I had this idea, and then I kind of like, yeah, I like that idea. Like, yeah, I don't know exactly how I'm going to do it, but it's a good idea. I need to do this. And then let's see. So then the Mars Venus conjunction happened on my natal Mars. And I was just like, I don't care. Like, I just need my life to be something I'm excited about. And that's when that like twist on your phrasing, like, if it's not humpable, it's a no, like that came to me. I'm just like, this has to be like, I don't know what I'm doing, but my life needs to be something I'm excited about. And then while all this was happening, like moving into Pisces season, Jupiter was transiting my sun. And I think that really like infused all these ideas with this like possibility that anything can happen and like, you know, just go for it, where I have so much Capricorn in my chart. And, you know, Saturn is in my fifth house. So it's very like, I think I'm a very Saturnian person when it comes to my creative self. And having Jupiter there, I was just like, I'm calling in Jupiter, like, sorry, Saturn, I respect you so much, but like, no, like, you need to take a step back. We're just calling in Jupiter. And it was just this mantra for me of like, Jupiter, Jupiter, Jupiter. Like, anytime I would have self-doubt, I would just in my head, like, Jupiter, Jupiter. And so then you invited me to do Magician's Table round two. And at first I was like, no, I feel complete. Like, I don't want to do it, but I decided I'd sit on it for a couple of days before I gave you my answer. And then during that time, it was just like the Jupiter-ness was growing stronger and the Saturn was getting smaller. And it was just like percolating. It's like, well, what if you did it? Like, you would have 12 clients, you can make charts for them. You can have this like very safe container to explore this like creative idea that you have. And so it's like, okay, you know, maybe I will do it. Like, maybe I will. And so I said yes. And I remember I emailed you and I said, okay, Britton, like, I'm very interested in this, but I don't want to do like traditional astrology readings for people. I want to make these natal chart textile embroidery things. Like, I had never made one before. I didn't even really know what they were going to be, but I just said, I don't want to do readings. I want to do this instead. Like, is that okay? And you're just like, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so then you're like, okay, but still submit your application because it's, you know, it's the magic, it's the spell work. And so I did the application and literally like hit submit. And then that night I had dreams. I woke up with ideas of how I was going to make them, like that previously I had no clue. It's just like this vague thing that I wanted to make. And I had, you know, woke up and I was like drawing, and I was like, okay, it's going to be like this. And like, I'm going to do this and it'll be, you know, this whole thing. And so I said yes. And then I started making them. And so that's what I'm working through right now. On my Instagram, I've been posting pictures, of the charts that I'm making. And so I'm almost done with our group. I have about 3 more charts to make, to be complete there. And then I'm going to start making them for the public. And that's how I'm going to like have my creative spark out in the world.
I love that. I love that so much.
Yeah, Jonathan, you had never heard that story.
Yeah, I've never heard that story. And also, Jacqueline, what I really, really appreciate from hearing you speak is this idea that I've also kind of seen in my own life about working with fire, which mm-hmm. is that because fire, you know, in our charts, right, as Virgo risings, the houses that are governed by fire signs are the 4th, 8th, and 12th house. Am I mm-hmm. correct about that?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's this idea of having to work with fire internally first, and mm-hmm. then almost kind of gradually bring it outwards, like bring it outside. And you know, frankly, though, I do feel like reading your Instagram, I get a lot of fire on your Instagram. I'm going to read you back some of your words.
Okay.
Which I love doing to people because I feel like it's so great. This is one. I thought that being an astrologer meant that I had to teach, to share information, because that's what I see other astrologers do. This platform is filled with amazing accounts talking about astrology at every level of understanding. I thought if I was able to share information perfectly, beautiful aesthetic, impeccable punctuation, know everything, that you would love me more. I thought that appearing perfect would be the veil that keeps you from realizing that I'm still a student. When the truth is, the very nature of astrology is to humble yourself, to realize that you will always be learning. I thought I wanted to be seen by you, but I wish to delight myself. And how amazing is that?
Thank you. Yeah, that came to me. That concept or that written thing like came to me really early this year, like in January, I think. And I had gone through like a pretty deep hermit space, like Scorpio season, really through the end of the year. Like I usually host like moon circles for my friends, and I just completely like stopped, like ghosted them basically. Like I was learning about human design. I was like, I'm a manifester, and how manifestors need to inform people, like to tell them what's going on. It's like, oh yeah, this is a great, that was the first thing where I was like, okay, maybe my human design is onto something, that I should have said like, you guys, I'm not doing these for a while. I'm just really overwhelmed. Cause some of my friends were like, did you just remove me from the list? Like, you don't want me to be in the group anymore? I'm like, oh my God, aww. No, I would never. It's like, no, I'm just super overwhelmed. But yeah, so I went into this really like deep hermit space, which I really think allowed like the Venus kind of information to come to me. And especially with my 12th house Leo, like the creativity that happens in the hermit space. And so in that time, like of like deep listening and sitting with myself and like not too much external input, I was just like, yeah, like I don't like Instagram because I feel like I have to show up as someone who I'm not. And it's just very inauthentic and it's very draining to my energy. And so what if, you know, in moving away from the Capricorn way of living and like moving towards this Aquarian like new world that we're creating, like what if I just show up on Instagram as how I want to show up, and I'm not going to use hashtags, and I'm not going to like care about the algorithm, and I'm just going to tell y'all like this is who I am. And if you like it, then I want you to be in my space. And if you don't, then that's great, because you're clearing room for like the people that do want to be there.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, so that hermit period was like when the sun was moving through your IC and fourth house too, which for me is summertime. And I also feel like it's incubation, which can feel scary, because if you think you have to be on this like constant output timeline, but it can be such a rich period for just like turning things over and coming out the other side with fresh ideas, which you clearly did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Without even trying, like, honestly, like it's a disservice to like pretend like, oh, I just had this amazing idea and I've been running with it. Like, I've been trying to figure out what it is for at least the last 5 years. Like, but yeah, really like settling into that hermit space just allowed for so much to come forward, to where it feels like, honestly, like I didn't have to like work for this idea, that it just came to me. And like very clearly that this is what you're meant to kind of like bring into the world. And so I'm just like, okay, like, I believe you, I trust you, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm. So what's that process of creating the astrological textile art, or what are you calling it, Jacqueline?
I have not come up with a like
definite name.
Great name yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, I just call them like the astro hoops, because I make them in like an embroidery hoop. So they're a circle. And so what I do an hour reading right now, where a small part of it is just talking about what colors you like, what colors you don't like, if there's any asteroids that you want included, kind of like, you know, technicality stuff. I show you the chart that I'm working from. You can look at it and make sure that it looks, you know, the way that you expect it to look. And just kind of like talk to people. Oh, you have this water trine, but it's not exact. Do you want me to include it? Like, is that something that's important to you? Stuff like that. And then the majority of the reading time is just me getting to know you and talking about like whatever you know, whatever's present for you and like whatever you want to bring forward, and just having this conversation. And then that information that I collect during our time together, I turn it into your astrology natal chart, where I go and like pick out fabrics that I think embody like you as a person. And so I've been doing them where it's the elements. So, you know, it's like the fire. I usually try to pick like a warmer color, air, I don't know, yellow, like water, blue, earth, green. But then, you know, one person who I did a chart for, she likes monochromatic things. So I did hers all in grayscale. So, you know, they're all completely custom, completely unique. Like, it can be whatever you want it to be. And so far people have been just very trusting of like, I just want to see what you like come together with. But you know, I'm a Virgo rising, so I respect, like, if you don't want to see, I don't know, the color purple, like, I want to know that. So yeah, so I put the fabrics together, and then I sew essentially like a pinwheel, the chart, like the 12 point chart. And then I put that on a background, which goes into the embroidery hoop. And then I embroider the zodiac signs and all of your chart pieces. And then I name them. I give them all a custom name that I usually ask the chart, you know, like, what does it want to be named? Some of them, right after the reading is done, they tell me, they're like, this is it. And then other ones, I have to kind of like sit with them for a while, and they want the like devotional aspect of me, you know, doing the embroidery and sitting with them. And then they'll slowly tell me what they want to be named. So then I put the name on like a backing piece of felt, and I close up the chart. So the name is on the back. And then it's a finished piece, and then I ship it off to you.
Nice.
Can you say some of your titles?
Yes. Let's see, I can say some of them if I could think of any of them. Let me see, I have them all right in front of me here. Let me pull them up. Okay, so one that I'm going to start working on right now that hasn't been completed yet is going to be I'm like looking through my notes. Let's see. Okay. The one that I'm going to start next is The Fire in My Heart. It is a tender place. And one of the first ones that I made, it was, let's see, where the ocean waves meet the craggy rocks. Because that person that I made it for, I just like felt this. She's also Pisces sun, but she has this like deep, like Mars, like powerful energy. And it just felt like this like crashing of waves, like against the rocks to me. And then I have one that I made, a rainbow one, is this is what Jupiter feels like. It's all rainbow, glittery, like really beautiful. let's see, through the womb to the stars, I am the universe. That one was really special for me to create. They're all special. I'm like, I can't even pick a favorite because they're all like so beautiful and unique to me. And then let's see, secrets only the moon's daughter can know. And then, one other one that I made, a world waiting for the lioness's song.
So beautiful. What are some of the biggest challenges you've had in creating them?
Challenges, I think, originally when I first, the very first one that I made, I was really hesitant about like making sure that the person would like the chart that I was creating. Because they're like, oh, I trust you, you know, whatever you want to make, like, I trust your process. I want to see what you're going to put together. And I was like, well, I can like pick out the fabrics and then we can meet and then make sure you like them. And then I can sew it together to make sure. And she is just like, no, like, I trust whatever you come up with. And I'm so grateful for that because I think it's, you know, my Virgo-ness is like, I want to make sure that you like it. I want to be in service to you, like whatever. But really the beauty of the product is like my intuition is taking over and interpreting you and seeing you. And so I'm really grateful for that first chart experience, like the trust that she put in me, because I put it together and we had originally, I wanted to meet and I was like, no, you know what? It's okay. Like I trust what I've put together for you. Like it's going to be good. So I think, you know, just really trusting in myself that, you know, connecting with the person's chart. But I don't know, honestly, it's been kind of easeful. Like I trust myself putting together colors and like, you know, layering textures and doing all these things. I'm like, it's, I don't know, it's not that hard.
I love hearing that. And also, it seems like you had transformed yourself through the act of trusting your hands, you know, and trusting like your own, like what's coming up for you almost like on a physical level. And that to me is also extremely Virgo. You know, like Virgo has this way of just kind of like, I don't really know what I'm making, but when I see the materials in front of me and I start reorganizing things, I trust that something's going to happen, you know? What would you say to your, like to Jacqueline a year ago, having gone through this process for yourself?
I would tell her that, well, one advice that I give everyone is to journal more. I think something really shifting for me was, so from the Virgo new moon to the Virgo full moon was really a container of this like transformative experience for me to connect to my fire and see it like existing out in the world. And if I didn't have my journal to look back on and like read through what I was thinking, what was coming up for me, If I didn't have that to look back on, I don't think that I would be able to like even see how far I had come from there to now. So I think, for a year ago, Jacqueline, the same, just like continue trusting and journaling, and like, you don't have to know the answer. You just have to start doing something, and then the answers will come as you start creating.
I love that.
And now you are going to be on our community support team to carry and hold and care for astrology as praxis. I'm so excited.
I know. I'm so excited also. Thank you so much for thinking of me. I'm really looking forward to it. I think that, the space is going to be really beautiful. Because I think some of my most transformative moments for myself have been like in the community spaces, and just how people can reflect things back to you about yourself or your chart that you can't see for yourself. And I think that that's really important. Like the naming, like people seeing the fire in me that I couldn't see in myself and naming that for me in our like group containers, and then kind of like trusting it. Like, well, I believe, you know, what they're saying, like, I trust that person. And so if they can see that in me, then, maybe I need to just trust their assessment of the situation and like continue forward, you know, with that information instead of like doubting myself.
Yeah. What would you say is your hope for the people coming into this container, Jacqueline?
My hope for our participants would be, I hope that whatever chart points that you feel unfamiliar with, or that you like can't embody, or that it's like not possible for you to have a relationship with that sign or that planet, I hope that you do join the course to see like really how you can do those things. That like all the planets and all the signs, like they want to work with us and they want to know us, and like, and we do embody all of them. Like we have all of them in our chart, whether there's a planet there or not. So I think I just hope like that people can give themselves the space to like be able to see that in themselves. And maybe if you can't see it, like that we will be able to see it in you. And so,
I feel your moon in third house there. That's so sweet. And also it gave me a bit of an insight around how we work with different planets, right? Because sometimes when we find certain planets or placements in our charts to be challenging, we need to move away from it a little bit. You know, we need to kind of work with maybe a different point in the chart. But then often what tends to happen is it provides another entry point back into the one archetype or like the one part of the chart that we were having challenges with. But it was almost like, you know, the chart is this like huge land of like with many different like characters and many different terrains that you can kind of jump into from one to another. And I feel like from what you were sharing about how you've moved through your journey, that's something that you do really beautifully, you know.
Oh, thank you. I think for me, I truly just couldn't see my fire self. And then I kind of talking with someone, I was like, well, like for me, if I had to identify as fiery, that it's easiest for me to do that through maybe like Sagittarius. And I think it's like the Pisces Sagittarius like connection with Jupiter. And so then kind of playing around with like, well, if I am fiery, like, how do I like embody that? And like, well, I am joyful and I am, you know, creative and I do have this, you know, spark and this and this. And then it's kind of like, oh, well, yeah, if I have those things and then just letting it unfold. And so now where I'm kind of at with everything is, so something really beautiful that my friend said, she said, how do you build a fire in a riverbed? And she wasn't even talking about astrology, but it just was so like impactful to me. Like I've just really held on to that because I do think astrology is so literal and like I think about my chart with so much water and earth as like a riverbed. And so like literally, how do you build a fire? Like that's you can't. My answer used to be that you can't. And so now my answer is that you have to tend to it daily and you have to protect it like from the other elements and you have to just constantly be working at it and tending to it and protecting it. And so that's where I am now is that I realize like I can't, you know, live my life and then one day like flip a switch and be like, okay, I'm fiery now. Like that's not how my fire works. Like I have to really watch over it and daily like be taking care of it through, you know, wake up and play music. Cause I'm very like, I will sit in silence like all day long. Like I just like being in the quiet. Like I don't like consuming information. So I will do that all day long. And that's, you know, very comfortable, but it's kind of like a melancholic space. So I'm like, okay, I need to play music in the morning. I need to like, you know, go and do this. I need to do this. So I have to really work at it. But it's so rewarding. And so I just kind of like take that vision like with me of like my fire exists in a riverbed. And so I have to like build a protection around it and like check on it every hour. Are you okay? Are you still lit? Like, do you need anything? So yeah, so that's where I am with my fire now.
I love that. And something about that tending is also extremely like Virgoan too.
Mm-hmm.
Something I think I always learn from the Virgo archetype is how important it is to tend to the details because the details is what eventually makes up the big picture, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I really see that making the charts. Well, my like perfectionist tendencies in real life have been, you know, detrimental to me or can be more like cause anxiety or just kind of be like not supportive. Then when I'm making charts, it's like, you know, the details really matter. And it's like the perfectionism channeling that into the charts that I'm creating is like so important. So it's, yeah, it's definitely like an act of devotion and yeah. Creating.
Yeah. Finding like a nourishing container for that way of being or like, mm-hmm. you know, that which wants to be expressed, right? Rather than letting it like eat away at you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to say on this one that when I'm like an old crone at the end of my days and I'm looking back at this time in my life teaching, knowing you, I'm gonna cry, I think. When you shared what you shared that last day of charting your course last year, you took the time to write a little note to everyone in the class to share how you learned from them. And then you thanked yourself for showing up. Like, I will be remembering that. It was so beautiful. Like you found that place in yourself that you wanted to show up in that way to a closure. And it was so impactful and so powerful. I imagine we'll all be remembering it.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Britton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. you have that ability, you seventh house sons, to really reflect other people's light back to them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this creative practice that you're building really just invokes so many gifts in your chart.
Thank you. Yeah. That's what I was going for. we kind of talked a little bit about how that your series, like Living the Fuck Out of Your Chart, that I was just like, I want that. Like, I want to be living the fuck out of my chart. Like, and back in 2019, that career astrology reading I had, she said, your current job, it actually like is a lot of the things in your chart are like supported to this. Like, it's, you know, it's actually kind of in line with your chart. And I was like, yeah, but it's not creative. Like, creative problem solving for a finance company is not my ideal like creative work in the world. And she's like, well, you know, if it's not it, then it's not it. Like, and yeah, so then whenever you came out with this Living the Fuck Out of Your Chart thing, I'm like, I want that. How can I get that? And so that's been really important to me, to like figure out how I can be doing that. So it feels really good, and really big, and like I have no choice but to like be propelled by it.
Thank you for sharing yourself, Jacqueline.
Yeah, thank you both for having me.
This was so lovely. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacqueline, for sharing yourself with Moon to Moon, for spending time with me and Jonathan. Who knows how many hours we have now spent together, Jacqueline? It's a lot of hours, and there's a lot of hours ahead. And your presence, your wisdom, your voice, your honesty, your sincerity, your creativity, your inspiration, you light up the spaces that you enter, and I'm so glad that you entered mine. Thank you, Jacqueline. For everyone listening, I hope you found that conversation fun and inspirational. If you're interested in astrology as praxis, if you're interested in joining me and Jonathan and Jacqueline and the rest of the community that's constellating, I'm inviting you to mark your calendar. August 26th, 27th, 28th is the registration window. And then we begin September 10th. So we'll have a little 2-week break to kind of rest from the big decision and like get our pencils sharpened, gear up to meet. And then we kick off with some meetups on September 10th and 11th. More info coming. So save those dates because we're going to kick off together. And then we'll be moving into part one. And part one is going to be this fall, where we're going to just get into the language together from wherever you're at. Some people will be beginners. Some people may have been studying astrology for years. It doesn't matter, because it's not about getting to like a destination where you've learned a certain amount of information. That's not what we're doing. And so the fall is going to look like Tuesday meetups at 3 p.m. Central for 75 minutes. And Thursdays, there's going to be live lessons, 5 p.m. Central, but you don't have to attend those. You can just do the replay. We'd love for people to come be with us, but you don't have to. And then in the spring and summer, it's going to be like a menu of meetups. Some you'll be able to go to, some you won't be able to go to, all replays available. Some months you'll be super active, some months you won't be as active. It's going to be breathing and alive and emergent based on what's coming up for you. And I'm so excited. So stay tuned for more information. We've got a couple more podcasts coming out with more words, more thoughts, more questions, more musings, more conversations. And thank you once again to Jacqueline and Jonathan for giving your time to this space. Wishing everybody a beautiful, beautiful day wherever you are, whenever you're listening. Until next time.